Chapter 2. Corey. So, I'm breaking up with Claire today. The very millisecond after I said this, Zach breaks out into laughter. So much so that he falls off his Stairmaster machine. I had a feeling this would be his reaction, but it doesn't make it any less annoying.
That's funny. Now when have I heard that before? Zach replies sarcastically.
Dude, I'm serious. I'm going to finally do it. It's happening today.
Sure, he says sarcastically.
What? You don't think I'm going to do it?
Corey, you've been saying you were going to break up with this chick for the past 6 months.
That ain't true.
Zach stares at me silently and raises his eyebrows at me before I concede.
Okay, more like 3 months, I say.
You're pathetic, bro.
Fuck you.
The two of us trade smirks as we continue our climb on our Stairmasters. We've been at it for about 30 minutes now and the fatigue is starting to set in, even though we're both going at a pretty easy pace. I don't know why I always do this. I always spill my soul when Zach and I are working out together. And every time I do, I always end up regretting it.
Why do you want to break up with her anyway? He asks.
We've been over this, I say.
Please feel free to re-enlighten me. Claire's a good girl, isn't she?
You don't understand, dude.
What's there to understand? She's a hot blonde who's mad chill and has a nice ass. What's the downside here?
Already realizing, like always, that this conversation's going to be a lost cause, I sigh heavily and increase the intensity on my Stairmaster.
You're not dating her, Zach. You don't know her like I do. She's not as chill as you think she is. Everything is always about her. She always complains about shit. When something doesn't go her way, it's like the whole entire world is coming to an end, and she has to be the fucking center of attention. And then I have to somehow be the knight in shining armor to lift her spirits back up and fix everything. It's starting to become exhausting.
Yeah, that's called being in a relationship, bro, he says.
Says the guy whose longest relationship was, what, 2 months? I reply.
That's cold, man. I'm just saying, I say, smirking at him. Look, I ain't judging you. I'm just saying that those sound like pretty normal problems to me. I don't know if that's a good enough reason to leave her.
I sigh. Okay, fine. How about I'm just not happy?
Not happy? Okay, time out. When did this all start happening again? I could have sworn that you used to be crazy about this girl. There was a time where you wouldn't shut up about this chick and how cool she was.
You're right. I used to be crazy about her, but shit has changed. I don't know how else to explain it. It is what it is. I'm going to break up with her. I need to figure out how I'm going to do it. I need to plan my speech.
Need to plan my speech, he says. I love you, bro. You always give me a good laugh, he says, shaking his head and laughing.
Rolling my eyes, I say, I'm glad my pain amuses you. We both fall silent for a moment. I see Zach press a button on his machine to increase the intensity to match my pace. I start to think that thankfully this conversation is over. Until.
I'm just saying though, Claire's got a really nice ass, he adds on.
I mean, it's all right, I reply, wiping sweat from my brow.
Nah, it's really nice, bro. I mean, damn, that girl looks good in some leggings.
Jeez, how long have you been eyeing Claire like this?
What do you care? You're breaking up with her.
Hearty har har, I reply sarcastically.
We continue our climb for several more minutes in silence before Zach looks at the screen on his machine and notices the time.
Shit, he says, pressing the stop button. I gotta go, bro. I've got a session coming up in a few.
It's cool. I've got one coming up, too, I say out of breath.
Zach and I hop off our respective Stairmasters and head downstairs to the men's locker room to get changed. Luckily, we both work for the gym. Your Fitness Sports Club, or YFSC, as it likes to be called, it's one of the newer chain of gyms that's slowly becoming more and more popular throughout the tri-state area. Zach is a full-time personal trainer here, whereas I'm what they call a membership consultant. Basically, it's a sales position where I've got to try to bring in new clientele to the gym. But I do some personal training part-time as well. I'm trying to work my way up to full-time like Zach, but it's hard enough convincing people to pay $59.99 a month for a gym membership. Convincing them to fork over even more money for personal training sessions is even harder. For me, at least. Even though I get paid on commission from sales and training sessions, I also have a base wage of a cool $10.40 an hour for working the front desk and stacking and restacking weights. Yeah, that's more or less what this job consists of when I'm not on the floor trying to sell my services to people who just want to be left alone to their workout. Exciting shit, right? Don't get me wrong, I'm not really complaining. I'm just happy to have a job that's steady. I'm patient, and I understand that I have to work my way up. The problem, though, is that the amount of money that I bring in is incredibly inconsistent. That can be really frustrating. I could have some good weeks, some decent weeks, and some weeks where I barely bring in anything. None of this would be so bad if I didn't have rent to pay every month. I live in a modest-sized house with two other roommates, one of whom is Zach, and we each pay $800 a month. All things considered, that's not too bad for a place near the beach, but taking into account my other bills, my cell phone, my car payments, and my student loans, God, my student loans, and small stuff, you know, like food, it all adds up. Zach's been a trainer for a few years longer than me, so he gets a higher wage than I do, and he's got a much higher clientele. Going by the way he seems to splurge on new clothes and weed every other week, he seems to be doing pretty all right for himself. But for me, things have been really, really tight, and I'm barely making ends meet. Last month, I had to borrow money from Zach, so I still owe him $400 for rent. He hasn't asked for it back yet, but he will, and I don't want to be that guy who can't pay his friend back. I spoke to the general manager last week about bumping my base pay a little, and I got the typical, "We'll take it into consideration" answer. It was the third time in 6 months that I brought it up. I'm obviously not expecting any real follow-up from them. Having said all that, I guess I have things to complain about. I don't want to sound all woe is me, though. It really isn't a bad job for what it is. I actually do enjoy the whole personal training part of it. I work with really cool people. I get unlimited access to gym facilities, which for me is a big deal. I'm admittedly OCD about my body. I'm not like a meathead, though, I promise. Let's see, what else? Oh yeah, on the last Friday of every month, they give us free hot wings. So that's something cool, I guess. I think that's about all I got. Moments later, Zach and I are changing out of sweaty exercise clothes and into our YFSC uniforms. He's going on about some girl that he hooked up with last night, and I'm kind of tuning him out. I open my gym bag to check my phone and see a text from Claire. "Hey, I'm having a shitty day. Call me when you're out of work. XOXO," the text reads. What a surprise. Claire's having a bad day, I think to myself. Even though I want to ignore it, I know she'll just end up blowing up my phone with more texts asking, "Hey, did you get my last text?" Plus, I'm kind of morbidly curious, so I text her back asking what happened. Approximately 40 seconds later, she texts back saying that she got fired from her job at the diner. Again? She got fired from another job? Seriously, this girl goes through jobs like toilet paper. "Geez, that sucks. I'm sorry. Call you a little later," I text back. I lightly bang my forehead against my locker and grunt out loud to myself. Zach takes notice and asks, "What's wrong, dude?" I sigh and reply, "Claire just got fired from her job."
"Wow, that sucks. Where'd she work again?"
"At some shitty diner."
"Ah, well, there's plenty of shitty diners around here. I'm sure she'll find another one."
"That's not the point. This completely fucks up my plan."
"What plan?"
"My plan to break up with her." Cocking his head, Zach folds his overly chiseled arms and smiles cheek to cheek, like he's about to bathe in my misery.
"How does her getting fired change things exactly?" he asks.
"I can't break up with her now, at least not tonight," I say.
"Why?"
"She just lost her job. That'd be really messed up if I added this onto it."
"Bro, you're giving me whiplash here. Why the hell do you care so much? The whole point of a breakup is that you don't have to worry about her shit anymore."
Shaking my head, I say, "Zach, you're not getting it. If I break up with her right after she just got fired from her job, she's gonna fucking flip out. Claire is an incredibly emotional, sensitive chick, and it's not in my best interest to put her over the edge, if you know what I mean." Zach looks at me as if he's trying to solve for X. "Go ahead, man. Say it. I know you're thinking it," I say.
"Say what?"
"You think I'm a pussy."
"I don't think that."
"Yes, you do. You think I'm a pussy, and I'm trying to have my cake and eat it too," I say. Zach shakes his head while he unloads an obscene amount of Old Spice all over his newly waxed chest and underarms, and nearly suffocates me in the process.
"First of all, bro, I never understood that expression. What's the point of having cake if you're not going to eat it?" he asks.
Touche, I reply.
"And second, yes, I do think you're a pussy. A giant, wet, hairy pussy," he says with a big snarky grin on his face.
I roll my eyes. "There it is, folks."
"Hey, listen, it's cool. I get it. I've been there. This breaking up shit ain't easy. If it was, nobody would ever get married."
"Gee, thanks, Dr. Phil," I snicker. "I feel so much better."
"All I'm saying is you need to man the fuck up. Look, you want to break up with her, so do it. Stop waiting for this perfect moment. There's not going to be one. She's going to be pissed off. She'll cry. She'll feel like shit. She'll beg you to try to make it work. You'll feel even more like shit. She'll cry some more. And then you've just got to shake it off, bro.
He's right. Even if I don't want to admit it, I've been dragging this out for way too long. I've been trying to break up with Claire for months, but every time I think I'm ready to pull the plug, I bitch out. I completely bitch out, and I don't know why. No, I do know why. I'm 26 years old, and I've only ever had 3 real relationships. I've never had to actually break up with anyone before. I've always been the one who was broken up with. But even then, those other relationships never lasted longer than a few months. Claire's the longest I've been with any girl. Almost 4 years. I don't want to make it sound like it was all bad. It wasn't. I had strong feelings for her at one point. You know, in the beginning. I don't know if I could say I ever quite loved her, but there was definitely a time where I was really happy to be with her. I cared about her a lot. And then things just changed as our relationship went on. See, the one thing that you need to know about Claire is that she is bipolar. Now, I don't mean that literally, not in a clinically diagnosed way or anything like that. No, what I mean is that she's the very definition of a girl who is hot and cold all the time. One day she's chill, sweet, and sensual, all that cool stuff that a guy wants in a girl. Then at the flip of a switch, there's this bitch side of her that comes out. The obsessive, whiny, needy side. Let me tell you, it's not fun to deal with. You're thinking, well, that's just women in general, Corey, grow up. But Claire takes it to another level. And the sad thing is, she doesn't even know it. She always has to play the victim. Always has to get her way. Always has to have the last word. And she's controlling, too. I can't do a single damn thing without her questioning and dissecting it. God forbid I want to have a guy's night out or something. Can I come? Why can't I come? I really want to come. Why are you always hanging out with those guys? I think you should let me come. I don't mind hanging out with the boys. I can go on and on like that. And it drives me nuts. I'm at the end of my rope here. There has got to be someone else out there, someone other than me, who's better suited to put up with her, because I'm pretty much through dealing with it. And then there's the other reason I need to end things with her as soon as possible, a reason I can't even tell Zach about. I'm kind of talking to another girl. Yeah, I know. I've just spent all this time talking shit about Claire, and here I am, the douche who's cheating on her. And if you don't despise me enough already, guess what else? The girl I'm talking to is a friend of hers. Her best friend, Zoe. So what drew me to Zoe? Well, she's basically the opposite of Claire. She's super chill, not clingy, exciting to be around, great sense of humor, and she's hot as hell. If I didn't have enough of a reason before to end things with Claire, this is the thing that has pushed me over. In my defense, I didn't plan it. It just sort of happened. I know that's the typical cliche answer that I'm sure every guy who's ever cheated in the history of mankind has said at one point. But it's the truth. Now here's the craziest part about it all. I haven't even slept with this girl yet. And I think I'm falling for her. Hard. I repeat, I'm falling for a girl that I haven't even slept with. How does that happen? Believe me, it's not for a lack of trying. Zoe and I both want each other bad, but it's not easy trying to sleep with someone when you're in a relationship with their best friend who damn near tracks your every movement like a GPS. It's only been a few months, so the extent of our affair, if you could really call it that, has been through calls and texts whenever Claire's not around me. We call each other several times a week and stay on the phone for literally hours on end, and we just talk about everything, work, music, movies, sports. She's also a Giants fan, by the way. Just like life stuff. Zoe's the kind of girl that I can enjoy just talking to like that. And our calls often end with us having phone sex. You may laugh, but hearing Zoe talk about all the things she would do to me with her seductive voice drives me crazy. If we're not having phone sex, we're texting dirty pictures of ourselves back and forth. Man, you should see the stuff she sends me. She's such a tease. She's never sent fully nude pics of herself because she says she doesn't want to spoil the surprise of me seeing it in person. So I mostly get the pictures of her posing in her sexy lingerie. Hey, I'm not complaining. I wish I could say that I showed the same restraint, but I've sent her quite a few pics of my, well, you know. Oh, please, don't judge me. Every guy does it. But the only time I get to actually see Zoe in person is when I'm around Claire. So, as you can imagine, we don't get to have much real, intimate, physical contact. Every time I see her, I just want to rip her clothes off with my teeth. Not that that's the only thing I think about or anything, but hey, I'm a guy. Plus, with someone like her, it is impossible not to think of what she looks like naked. In case I haven't made it clear before, Zoe is beautiful. She's one of those girls who just has this unique look and attitude about her that instantly does things to me that Claire never did. The thing that gets me about her is her smile. She has this incredibly cute smile that reminds me of Demi Lovato. And her body, Zoe takes care of hers religiously. And I love that about her. She's so in shape, it's not even funny. She has thick, strong thighs, perfect round hips, a trim waistline, and even her slightly toned arms are sexy. God, I really need to get laid. I really need to end things with Claire, and I need to do it before she finds out about Zoe and me. And I know that if I keep doing this behind her back long enough, she will. Holy hell, would that be a nightmare to deal with. She would kill me dead. Twice. One thing Zach is right about is that there's not going to be a perfect moment. I gotta do it. It's just, how is the problem?
You gonna be okay, bro?
Zach asks with that same smug-ass grin he had on his face for the past 20 minutes. I'll be fine, dude. I'll figure it out.
Well, hey, when you finally do the deed, let me know, because I'll be more than happy to take Claire off your hands for you. I'm sure she'll need some tender comforting.
I smirk and throw my sweaty towel at him. You've got no shame, you know that? I say jokingly to him.
That's why we're bros, bro.
Yeah, whatever, I say snickering. If nothing else, I can always rely on Zach to amuse me with his horn dog antics.
Come on, George, you've got this. Just a couple more. I can't do this.
Yes, you can, I say to him, trying to coach him on. Meet George Delgado, 43 years old, 260 pounds, sporting a hairline that looks like it's receding inch by inch every minute. And he's a royal pain in my ass. About 3 months ago, George signed up for personal training sessions with me for 3 times a week. So good old George has become a decently steady source of income for me. Unfortunately, all this training is just not working. Like, at all. The guy's newly divorced, and he's determined to get back in shape and back on the dating scene. Apparently, his wife was cheating on him with his own brother, which, sorry to say, isn't all that surprising if you see the shape this guy is in. By the way, I only know this because the guy does nothing but talk about his shitty personal life during our sessions. He works his mouth out more than he does any other part of his body. So, over the past 3 months, George has been coming here, and I've been trying to move heaven and earth to whip this guy into shape. But he won't let me. I can barely get him to lift a 20-pound dumbbell or do a whole 10 minutes on a treadmill. And worst of all, he will not follow my diet regimen. I keep telling him that none of that work we do at the gym will mean anything if he just ends up going home and gorging down Enneman's donuts. Every time I see him, he tells me he's only been eating salads, but I know a liar when I see one. And I swear he's actually somehow gained weight since we started. And now, on today's episode, I'm trying to get him to bench press 50 pounds after 3. I repeat, 3 reps. The dude's already going into cardiac arrest.
Corey, I'm sorry. I can't.
He says, voice trembling. Stop saying you can't. You can. Come on, George. 5 more reps. I say, trying not to let my frustration show.
I can't do 5 more. I need a break.
George. You're not even trying. Come on. Give me at least 3 more. His face starts to turn pink, and his arms tremble as he struggles to lift the bar up away from his chest. It's a sad, sad sight.
I can't. It's too much. Help!
He yells. I sigh and clutch the barbell and lift it away from him, placing it on the bench's safety catchers. George pants and wheezes as I help him sit upright. Handing him his towel, I watch him wipe beads of sweat from his face. I can't for the life of me figure out how in the hell this guy is exhausted only 10 minutes into our session. George, you've got to try harder here, I say.
I am trying. This shit just isn't working,
he says defensively. It's not working because you're not letting it work. You don't listen to me. You don't follow my diet routine and you don't push yourself during our sessions. You are never going to get in the shape that you want if you're this stubborn, I tell him firmly.
Wow, you know what, Corey? Forget it. Forget all this. I quit.
He yells as he props himself up from the bench.
Wait, what? I say surprised. What do you mean you quit? I quit. I'm not doing it anymore. You're not helping, and I'm just wasting time and money here. I'll find another way to lose weight and get in shape.
I'm trying to help you here, but you're not letting me. You're not listening to me, I say, realizing that I'm sounding desperate.
You're right. I'm not listening to you. Not anymore. I want to cancel my membership.
George, come on. You don't have to cancel.
I want to cancel my membership now,
he commands, and even though I'm really tempted to knock this asshole off his feet, I shrug my shoulders and tell him I'll take care of the cancellation. With that being a complete waste of my time, I ended up spending the rest of my day on sign-in duty, since George was my only client for the day. And boy, do I love sign-in duty. Since it's a slow day, I've basically been chilling at the front desk, scrolling through Instagram on my phone. When my manager Dominic suddenly approaches me with a bucket and a mop, I know what he's about to say before he says it. "Sorry, Corey," he says with a look on his face like someone just died. "Dom, no, come on," I plead.
"Men's room, it's bad."
"How bad?"
"Saving Private Ryan bad," he says.
Rubbing my hand through my hair, I sigh loudly at Dom. "Can't Chris do it?" I ask desperately.
"Chris called out sick. It's slow today. I've got no one else. I need you to handle this. I'm sorry, man. I wouldn't ask you if I had any other choice."
Gritting my teeth, I grab the mop and bucket from Dom's hand. Just so you know, he's not sorry. And he definitely could have found someone else. The prick gets off on torturing the shit out of me. And I'll never understand why. As I head for the men's room, he calls out to me.
"Yo, Corey, don't forget to use gloves."
"Very funny, asshole," I mutter under my breath. I walk into the men's bathroom. The floor is practically flooded and the place reeks of ass and sweat. I tiptoe my way through the wet floor and slowly creak the door open to the leaking stall. I look in to peep the treasures that await me inside.
"Fuck me,"
I say out loud to myself.